Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbo the Twistery channel.
What up, what up, what up? It's Garbled Twistery, and here we are once again. We've reached the 1800 election. It is the turn of the century. And boy, oh boy, do we have a real slobber knocker for you today. We've talked about all four major candidates. Now it's time to watch them duke it out. Okay, so like last time the political parties had, well, political parties to decide who gets to be the homecoming king and queen. At the Federalist Dance, the couple that won was Johnny A. and Charlie Piccaninny. At the Democrat-Republican frat party, Tommy J. and that cold man Aaron were the chosen royalty. And now it is time for the super fun part, watching these kingdoms duke it out like it's a good old-fashioned domination game of Civilization 5, yo. And this whole situation was made like 20 times spicier because Johnny Adams and Tommy Jeffy San had a total Naruto and Sasuke dynamic going on. Like, things were always getting intense because of that Naruto and Sasuke dynamic, I tell ya. I'm serious. Things were getting personal. There was some straight up slander being slung. The Federalists were being all melodramatic in the newspaper, talking about how the Democratic Pelicans are gonna destroy the country like the baguette people are doing right now. And even Jorge Washington was like, quote, "Trying to change the mind of a Democratic Pelican is like trying to use a paper towel to rub a statue of a black person until they turn white. It's not gonna happen, and they're gonna destroy the country." Don't look at me like that. I'm talking about these French wannabes ruining the country, not statues of black people. Jeez Louise, unquote. But the thing is, the Democratic Pelicans were slinging the slander right back. Quote, "Do you not see how they're treating these hard-working European immigrants right now? I mean, come on, people. The only reason they're doing all this is to get at us. They're targeting us with all these unconstitutional alien laws. They say we're ruining the country, but, like, literally, look at what they're doing. Look at it. Look at it! Look at it! Look at it!" Unquote. Yeah. The Pelicans also said that the feds were too pishy-poshy aristocratic for not supporting France. What kind of Democrat sides with the freaking crown, right? Like, the Democrat-Republicans thought Johnny A. liked the tea sippers too much and didn't like the fact that he was building an army to fight France's shenanigans and the fact that they were paying taxes about it. Oh, but the sass doesn't stop there. No siree. Johnny Adams was taking all the sass from both sides of the fence. You see, Alexander Hammy Tammy and his motley crew had a genuine bone to pick with our boy Johnny A. Alexander wanted a president more likely to do whatever Alexander tells him to do, and Johnny A wasn't cutting it. I mean, at first, Hammy Tammy thought he was, like, influential enough to get and do what he wants, but by 1800, he realized that Johnny A actually likes to think for himself, and that's a big no-no. So what was the solution to the Johnny A issue? Some classic Alexander sabotage, yes sirree. Instead of trying to make Johnny Adams the Prezi-Wezi again, Hammy Tammy was trying to make Charlie Piccaninny the Prezi-Wezi. But you see, Alexander Hamilton's plot was foiled again. He keeps trying this shady nonsense every election and it keeps punching him in the face. When will he ever learn? How did it backfire this time, you ask? Well, Alexander Hammy Tammy wrote a 54-page letter that was dragging Johnny Adams to filth. But you see, the Democrat-Republicans got their hands on it and it leaked out. So basically, Johnny A got exposed as a total embarrassment, the Federalist Party got exposed as a hot mess, and Alexander Hammy Tammy got exposed as a meddling, lying, cheating, Taylor Swifty snake in the grass. Good times. No, but this election was some serious crazy, I tell you. Serious crazy. Like, different states were literally changing up the election process so they could get the results they wanted. Think I'm lying? Let's look at Georgia. The Democrat-Republicans freaking changed the voting style from, hey, everybody can vote, to only the legislature can vote. Sorry, I don't make the rules. Yes, you do, Georgia. Shut up. And the Federalists tried this same nonsense in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Pennsylvania also tried this nonsense, and Virginia tried the reverse. It was crazy, y'all. Crazy. Another crazy thing is that all the states were allowed to choose their own election day all willy-nilly, so the whole process took like 6 months. Yeah. And the two parties were straight up tied to the last state, y'all. The last state. Luckily for the Democrat-Republicans, the last state was the South Carolina bean, and all those votes were for Tommy Jay and Aaron Bay. And the rules for voting still didn't change. Like, everybody gets 2 votes, and the winner takes the Iron Throne, and the runner-up takes the Iron Giant or whatever. So the Federalists arranged so that 1 vote went to Johnny Jay, because they didn't want to tie within their own party, and the Democrat-Republicans planned to do the same thing, but it like didn't freaking happen. So their votes were literally split down the middle between Tommy Jay and Aaron Bay. I mean, this is exactly what you'd expect to happen if your party only has 2 candidates, you feel me? It would be a tall order to try and cross party lines with all this French drama anyways. So if this tag team were to end up with the most votes, the House of Reps would have to have a little courtroom drama voting sesh just to see who really gets to be the Prezi-Wezi. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Did any of the states screw up? Not really. Well, Georgia screwed up, because while the votes were, like, on the ballot, they weren't, like, organized the way it says you're supposed to organize them in the instruction manual. But the thing is... Tommy Jay's job as the assistant principal of the country was to deal with this mistake. And you know how he dealt with it? Instead of invalidating the ballot, he decided to accept it anyways. Probably because the votes were evenly split between him and the other Democrat-Republican, Cold Burr Man. I mean, I would have given Tommy the benefit of the doubt, but this election was so freaking close that if he straight up disqualified Georgia for the raggedy ballot, there would have been like a 3-way tie, and the Federalists would have still had a chance. But nope, I mean, you know what they say, sportsmanship is for weaklings. So at the end of the day, Tommy Jay and Aaron B both had 73 votes. Because remember, some loser forgot to not vote for Aaron. Johnny A had 65, and Pickaninny had 64 because someone remembered to not vote for him. So the Democrat-Republicans won. And I mean, sure, good for them and all, yada, 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 but we still got a problem, okay? Tommy Jay and Aaron Bay are freaking tied, so we don't know which one of them gets to be the mafia boss of the country. Oh, what can we do? Take it to the House of Reps, y'all. Ooh, ooh. So they took it up with the House of Reps. But most of them were Federalists, because they had to take it up with the old House of Reps. And some of these dudes hated Tommy. Like, they were actively trying to stop him, so they voted for the Popsicle Man. Oh, and this one was some, like, crazy neck-and-neck nonsense, too. Because, like, Virginia and Maryland couldn't make up their minds, so their ballots were blank. And like I said, the Federalists had this whole anything-but-Tommy-Pickles scenario playing out. It got so down to the wire that the Democrat-Republicans were passing notes to Aaron Burr in class that said, quote, "If you tie again or accidentally win or something, we think you should let Tommy be class president," unquote. Aaron Burr's response, "You must not know about me, you must not know about me. I am not throwing away this election, and I don't care about your rejection, baby." Aaron Klondike Burr ain't playing no games. He's in it to win it, y'all. But the thing is, the reason why the Democrat-Republicans are trying to convince him to throw away all this hard work probably has to do something with all these Federalists with names like James Barnyard running around and offering people cool government gigs if they didn't vote for Tommy Macaroni. See what being sneaky gets ya? It's a genuine domino effect. Not good. Not good. Okay, so like I said earlier, this tiebreaker was looking like it was going to be very close. And there were like two insane outcomes that the Democrat Republicans didn't want to see happen. Outcome one, Aaron Burr gets to be class president. This was not the game plan, and the Federalists were trying to manipulate so this could happen, y'all. Outcome two, they tie again. And the person who gets to be prez until it's worked out is some Federalist secretary named Johnny Marshall D. Teach. So while these things could have happened, they didn't. Why? Why do you think? Who keeps scheming and manipulating every single time? Got it yet? Let's say it together.
Alexander Hamilton.
I mean, sure, Alexander hated Tommy J, but Aaron? Oh boy, he was not giving our boy Aaron the time of day, no siree. Especially not after Aaron lied and took all that money to make a banking company. Nope. Quote, Tommy J believes in all the wrong things, but at least he believes in something. Aaron Burr, what does he believe in? Deceiving people for their money? No thanks, I don't want to waste my breath on this guy. Unquote. Yeah. Savage. Alexander Hammy Tammy was throwing out passive-aggressive letters like they were ninja stars, yo. And it's probably those letters that changed some minds. And at the end of the day, Tommy Macaroni won U.S. senior class president, while Aaron got runner-up. So yeah, this election was freaking bonkers, okay? Like, first there was the possibility of a three-way tie, but Tommy made sure that didn't happen by validating a technically invalid ballot. But then it turned into a two-way tie because the Democrat Republicans literally forgot how to throw away one of their Aaron Burr votes, so there was almost another tie, and if that happened, the Prez would have been a Federalist for a hot second, and Aaron was straying from the game plan, but Alexander helped his enemies, but primarily for personal reasons. Like, this was crazy, y'all. Like, who would have thought Hammy Tammy would end up helping the Democrat Republicans in any situation whatsoever? Not me, folks. Not me. This one is for the history books. And it's in them, huh? If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, a tale of souls and swords, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q at garbledtwistery.net. Next time, it's time to get my one percenter boss a birthday present in 1801. What should I get him? Oh, I have a great idea, Kathy. Get him a yacht so he can scuba in Bermuda when the weather gets hot. See you next time.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Sorry, I don't make the rules. Yes, you do, Georgia. Shut up.